For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of the Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Paul Warns of Heresies, as we pick up in Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
Shall we turn now in our Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. Paul had never visited Colossae. He had heard of the church from Epaphras, who was the minister there, who had told Paul of the love that these people had for Jesus Christ and of the faith. But he also told him of certain heresies that were trying to infiltrate the church. And so Paul is writing to warn them against these heresies. And so in verse 1 of chapter 2, he said, I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them of Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Paul is talking about this inner conflict that he had for them, a love that he had for them, the desire that he had to actually meet them and to see them. And though having not seen them, yet he is greatly concerned for them. He's concerned because of these heresies that were spreading like a plague through the church. And I don't know why it is, but it seems that lies or heresies fly on the wings of eagle and the truth goes on the back of a turtle. Heresies can spread so rapidly around the world, and it seems like people have a penchant towards heresy and so reluctant to follow the truth. And as it was in Paul's day, so it is today. We find how that these heresies that sweep across our country actually sweep across the world. And people get caught up in them all over the world. And this caused Paul tremendous inner conflict, a great concern, a great burden. Paul's prayer or desire for those who he had never actually met face to face was that their hearts might be comforted, that they might be knit together in love, and unto all of the riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Now, one of the heresies that was being promulgated there in Colossae was the Gnostic heresy. The people took their name to signify their pretended superior knowledge. Quite often you can tell a lot about a group by just the name that they choose. And whenever they choose some weird name for their fellowship, you know that there is something weird about the fellowship. And certain names do just sort of give you the hint to characteristics of the fellowship itself. Now, the word Gnostic means to know. The Gnostics pretended that they had higher knowledge of mysterious things. And the Gnostics used to love to talk of the mysteries. And you had to really be initiated into their little, club to be able to understand these mysteries. And they were always prating on this term, the mysteries. And so Paul picks up their term. And his desire is that they might come to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father and of Christ, which he told us in the previous chapter was Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, their hearts might be comforted. Secondly, that they might be knit together in love. What a wonderful thing when a church is just tied together in the love of Jesus Christ. And then that they might experience the riches of full assurance. It's sad, really, that a lot of people struggle most of their Christian life with a lack of a real assurance of their salvation. For years, I wasn't really sure if I was saved or not, and I was going down to the altar every Sunday night to sort of confirm my salvation. But that's a tough way to live. What a blessing it is to have the full assurance. That's the purpose for which John wrote his little epistle. These things write I unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And what a blessing when you have that full assurance, as we sing, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And this full assurance is what Paul was wanting them to experience. Now, how can I have full assurance? Only as I come by faith, trusting in the grace and the mercy of God through Christ. If I am depending upon my efforts and my works to make me righteous, I can never have full assurance. So anybody who has this legal relationship with God or work relationship with God does, by its very nature, lack the full assurance of his salvation. It is not until you really have come to that understanding of the grace of God and our position in Christ that you can really enjoy the full assurance. Paul's desire is that they might have this full assurance and the understanding and the acknowledgement of the real mystery is not some effort that I might put out to be righteous, but the real mystery is that it is Christ in me. That's my hope of glory. That work of Jesus Christ in me. And then, of course, because they were talking always about this superior wisdom and understanding and knowledge, Paul declares, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's all tied up in Jesus Christ. And this I say, Paul said, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. So Paul said, I'm not really there physically, but I'm there spiritually. We've got too many people that attend church that way. They're in the spirit, but not in the flesh, not in the body. Oh, I was with you in my spirit, brother. Oh, great. You know, if the whole church was like that, we'd have nobody here. We'd have to close our doors. You know, there'd be no sense of existing. But Paul said, I am beholding your order, the steadfastness of your faith in Christ, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Now here to me is an interesting thing. Usually people are pointed back to their roots. As you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Most of those who have some false doctrine or heresy to promote. Do not seek to promote it upon the unevangelized, but they seek to promote it upon the church. Very few heresies are evangelistic. They don't prey on the sinners. They prey on the saints. They don't go to the beach to proclaim their ideas. They go to the church and they try to infiltrate within the church and then give the, well, you know, I received this new revelation, or have you heard, you know, this new prophet of God and some new understanding or new revelation. And that is why they are usually pointed back to their roots, because those who are evangelical, those who are really out bringing the lost to Jesus Christ, are usually prompted by the truth of the gospel. And the gospel has always as its natural effect evangelism, reaching the lost. But not so those who are carriers of heresy. They want to be parasites. They want to live off the church. They want to bring to the church some new revelation. Our ministry is not really to the lost. Our ministry is to the church. You know, our truth that we have to share, it's for the church. And so he points them back to the beginning. As you've received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in him. Don't get carried off with some of these new revelations that God has just unveiled in these last days. Actually, we don't need any new revelations of truth. What we do need is new experiences in the established truth. God has given to us all that we need for the life of godliness in his word. It's all there. We don't need any new revelations. But what we do need is fresh experiences in the old truths of God's word. So beware, lest any man would beguile you with enticing words. For as you have received Christ, so walk ye in him. Rooted and built up in him. Christ is the base, the foundation. But he is also the one on whom we build. Our lives are to be centered in Jesus Christ. Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, and abounding therein with thanksgiving. So again, back to your roots. Your roots were in Christ Jesus. You were taught to believe and trust in Jesus Christ for your salvation, for the forgiveness of your sins. Now don't try to improve by your works upon that righteousness which God has imparted to you through your faith. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And so the twofold warning: those that would beguile you in with their enticing words away from the roots in Christ Jesus, and then those who through philosophy, the vain deceit, which are after the traditions of men. For Christ is the center of our experience, and in him dwells all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He's everything. He is all. And in him dwells all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, one of the things, of course, the Gnostics were denying was the deity of Jesus Christ, or the incarnation, that God came in a human form. Paul is affirming that truth. And ye are complete in him. Oh, God, help us to realize that. You are complete in him. Your righteousness is complete. Your salvation is complete. You cannot add to it. You are complete in him. How many times in my endeavors to please God would I promise God that I was going to be better? I would make so many promises to God. Lord, I'm going to pray more. Lord, I'm going to read the Bible more. Lord, I'm going to improve upon that righteousness. I'm going to be better. I'm going to be more righteous this week. And I was endeavoring by my efforts, by my works, to be accepted by God and to be righteous before God. And that was a struggle. Oh, would to God that I had someone teaching me in those days that I was complete in Jesus Christ. To just trust in him and rely upon him that I am complete. There's nothing that I can add. If you're complete, you can't add to that. You're complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now, the head there is used in the same sense that it is used in 1 Corinthians 7 as authority. So Jesus has authority over all the principalities and powers. And we have told you before that principalities and powers are rankings of spirits. Now, in the beginning, when God created the universe, and then God first created angelic beings, millions of them, hundreds of millions of angelic beings. These angelic beings that God had created were in different ranks and orders. There were the cherubim, there were the seraphim, there were the principalities and powers and authorities and dominions, the various rankings of spirit beings. And when Satan, who was one of the highest rankings of spirit beings in God's creation, when he rebelled against God, there is an indication in the book of Revelation that a third of the angels joined in his rebellion. Which means that God created them as free moral beings, even as he created us as free moral agents, making our own choices. And so those that chose to go with Satan were probably equally out of each of the various ranks. So principalities and powers can refer to the fallen angels, or it can refer to those that are still in obedience unto God. Regardless, Jesus has authority over them all. Naturally, those that are still obedient to God in that ranking, he rules over them. But also, those that have rebelled against him are still under his authority. Now, I don't like to be misunderstood, and this is a difficult concept sometimes for people to grasp, but in the overall picture, Satan is performing the will of God. That is, he is doing a service that God intended for him to do. You see, God uses him for the purpose of testing our devotion and commitment to God. If it were not for Satan, God would really not know, except that he has all knowledge, but you really would not know that you love God. And thus, as God said, I proved you, it was really not that he might understand, but that we might understand ourselves. And so the purpose of the testings and the provings is for our benefit, that we might know exactly where we stand. You test materials in order to know their strengths and their weaknesses. And as God tests us, we come to the understanding of those places of weakness. And Satan is being used by God, fulfilling a purpose of God in the world today. It's tragic and sad that he has that lot, but such it is. Now, he chose that. Even as men today choose to rebel against God. So he cannot really blame God. Like Judas, he was sort of in a tight place. The Bible predicted that Jesus was to be betrayed by one of his friends. Jesus said of Judas, it had been good if that man had never been born. Because he was destined to betray Jesus Christ. Now, in the same token, though that was a part of the predestined plan, yet Judas consented to it and chose to betray the Lord. Hard concepts really to grasp, and I'm not sure that we do fully grasp them. Satan was destined to be the instrument by which man might be tested. And yet he chose to rebel against God. But even in his rebellion, he is performing that which God has purposed. And he remains subject unto God.
Life is full of choices. And the most important one is how you live the life God has given you. In Pleasing God, beloved teacher Kay Smith speaks straight to the heart of every woman who wants her life to truly matter. With her signature blend of honesty, humor, and compassion, Kay shows how to simplify life by putting God first, living every day as a fragrant offering to Him. Learn how to deal with sin, walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, praise God through trials, and turn even the smallest moments into acts of worship. You've been given one life. Don't waste it for yourself. Offer it back to the one who created you, redeemed you, and promised you heaven. Pleasing God and the Companion Journal are available now. Order your copy at twft.com or call 1-800-272-9673. Don't wait. Choose to live a life that truly pleases God.
May the Lord be with you and bless you and keep you in His love and grace. May the Lord watch over you. And may you be filled with His Spirit and walk in the strength and in the power of the Spirit of God as He anoints you day by day. May you be enabled by Him. And may you enter into that fullness that He has for you, walking with the Lord, loving the Lord, listening to the Lord. Alert unto the Lord in these last days when the world around you is walking in its drunken stupor. May your mind and heart be clear, sensitive to God and to the things of the Spirit. In Jesus' name.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Colossians on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of the Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning Colossians 2. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see, it's not the way.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.